Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Esther Diplock. Esther is a senior trainer and facilitator for Gender Equity and Reconciliation International. Along with her husband, William, they are the program coordinators for the Jerry. Okay. Work in Australia. And she is a co-author of their latest book, Gender Equity and Reconciliation, 30 Years of Healing the Most Ancient Wound in the Human Family. Alongside this, Esther is an individual and couple therapist, educator, and supervisor who has been practicing for over 20 years, specializing in working with those impacted by trauma. In her work, she incorporates her training as an occupational therapist, counselor, integrative somatic psychotherapist, kundalini yoga teacher, TRE, or tension and trauma release exercises practitioner, Reiki practitioner, and laughter yoga facilitator. Oh, I love that. Living on Deception Bay in Brisbane, Australia. She has a passionate love of nature, trees, and water, which invite her into stillness, freedom, and a deep love of life. She spends as much time as possible in laughter and play and thrives on journeying with people who are seeking to create freedom, joy, and nourishment in their lives. It's wonderful to have you with us, Esther. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Emmy. It's been beautiful to connect with you and to be invited into this space.
Thank you so much. And I cannot wait to see where our conversation takes us today. I love what you do and I love your energy. And I know we're going to go quite deep with this one. So looking forward to it. But I would love to start by asking you, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
Yes, that could take me in so many different directions. But really, if I just sink in and touch into sacred feminine power in me, the first word that comes is freedom. And then there's this overflow of other words that come out of that freedom for me. And there's the freedom for creativity, to love, to be in flow, to have sensuality and rawness and fierceness and passion. And then there's the rest, the ability to nurture myself, being self-loving. It's the source of my wisdom. It's the place out of which I heal. It's where I follow my intuition. It's my inner knowing. It's where I set my boundaries. So I think for me, my sacred feminine power, it's the place out of which so much of who I am kind of overflows into my life. And it's a much welcomed and really needed counterpart for me to the sacred masculine dimensions of myself. In my early life, the sacred masculine was prioritized. And so the pleasure for me has been to find my sacred feminine power. And one of my practices of being in my sacred feminine power is really on my Tuesdays, I give myself a day to not see any clients and I call it my womb day. And I kind of sink down into or my commitment to myself, when I don't always keep it, but my commitment to myself in that is that I give space for the sacred feminine power to be present and overt in my life. So I wait, or I, when I'm able to do this well, I wait to see whatever the divine feminine asks of me on my Tuesdays. And sometimes it's to rest, to go to sleep, to nurture myself. Sometimes it's to, you know, write or express myself. Sometimes it's to be out in a context with somebody else, sharing myself in relationship. There's no right or wrong about what I do on that day, but it's and that I think is what sacred feminine power is about for me. It's there's no right or wrong. It's the being in the impetus of the moment and allowing what needs to come forward in me.
That's really beautiful. I love everything that you shared there. And the concept of the womb day is just so delicious and so beautiful. And also very, very empowering, because it is so important for women, especially women, because we kind of tend to forget ourselves in all the other stuff that we do, to really dedicate that time to ourselves and deeply listen to our wombs, our inner knowing, and do exactly what we're guided to do. I have goosebumps just listening to you and talking about this myself. It is so important.
Yeah, it's been a life-giving practice for me. I have desperately needed it, probably for most of my life, but I've only been giving it to myself for about 7 years, and I wouldn't go back on it because it sets me up for the rest of my week, or it makes space every week for me to have a place that I drop in to meet myself, to see where I'm at, to see where the feminine essence of me wants to stir or move me.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I love that. Now, I would love to hear from you, Esther, about a challenge that you have faced that's helped you to activate the sacred feminine power and then ultimately put in place these practices over the past 7 years.
Yeah, it's as I sat with thinking about a challenge, I mean, the lifelong challenge for me really has been, you know, incarnating, coming into this world in a very evangelical Christian family this lifetime. And really, that upbringing prioritized all the masculine images of God. There was only a male God. There was only a Father God. There was only a male Jesus. And somewhere in the midst of that, not only was there only a masculine sacred image, but there was also these images of feminine that were, you know, demonized really in lots of ways. Like, they became the opposite of the divine. They were, you know, I had these images somehow that I have learned over the years were kind of this negative image of women. And as I've sat with it and done my work around confronting this challenge that I was born into, I have realized that I had these images of women as weak and as dangerous, and I was born a little girl. Like, I was born a woman. I was born somehow weak, as in kind of incompetent. I picked up these messages that, you know, there was so much we couldn't do as females, or as girls, as a woman. I couldn't speak up. I couldn't own things. I didn't have the right to be kind of master of my own destiny on some level. And then the other thing I picked up, not only was I somehow supposed to be, or was this weaker sex, but I was also dangerous. So I think in my early childhood, I picked up this fear from some of the men in my life around my sexuality and my sensuality, my hips that would move, my big, luscious kind of juicy energy as a little tiny girl even. And I got taught to not move my hips. I got taught that somehow I was dangerous in my sensuality, in my sexuality. And so that challenge really shaped my whole childhood and into my 20s. You know, for me, my story is becoming very overweight, eating to shut down my feelings, eating to, I think, deaden my feminine voice, the part of me that knew that God was not only masculine, the part of me that didn't believe that women were weak and dangerous. That part of me had to be quelled, if you like. And I spent, from when I was about 7 years of age, I started eating and became very overweight, and really submerged most of my feelings and most of my intuition and my power down into my body, into my increasingly overweight body. And that was the challenge. There's a lot more to the story, so shall I tell that the next bit?
Oh, you're welcome to tell the next bit. I'm really, really appreciating how openly and vulnerably you are sharing about your experiences, and you're providing so, so much medicine for our listeners. So please do go ahead and share more.
Yeah, I think for me, that was just my life. Like, I grew up with a male God, and I grew up with a sense that somehow it was not okay being a girl and growing into a woman, and that part of my weight was not only to eat my emotions, but it was also to suppress my sexuality. And I think I ended up with this fear that I would be promiscuous, that I would sleep around. Now, the reality was I was a virgin, but even into my 20s, my 30s, early 30s, but there was this really painful experience of this fear of my sensuality and sexuality. And probably there's three main points to the kind of the shifts for me in overcoming some of those challenges. In 1997, very much in a Christian context, I went to what I thought was just another Christian camp gathering. But I had this profound experience of meeting God and overwhelming, like in my body, you know, at the time, the only language I had was Christian language. So I talked about, you know, I was blind and now I can see, I'll never be the same again. And it was the beginning of 2 years of this profound experience of God kind of taking me over, kind of me falling in love, of God falling in love with me, of God in my body. Now, I look back on it now and the words I would use to describe that was Kundalini awakening. Really, I had this profound Kundalini awakening and 2 years of being in this intensely energized space. And without me having any words, because I still only had the masculine God that I was conscious of, and yet I had this God who was in my body and I have a female body. So I look back on it now and I go, oh, that was my meeting with the goddess. You know, that was my first real knowing of the God who was outside, the God who was father, who actually was actually the God who was inside, who was in my female body and was me. One of the second profound kind of meetings for me of the sacred feminine that changed my experience in life was doing my master's of counseling. And again, in a Christian context, at a Christian university. And I had a lecturer and a teacher who had this beautiful way of being able to bring forward not only the masculine father images of God or masculine images of God, but I suddenly, through her, got to meet this mother God, these mother images that are scattered through scripture, that are part of the Hebrew language, that are part of the Hebrew understanding or the Jewish understanding of God. And it was this first like little glimmering of me being able to make sense of this Kundalini awakening. I'd had this like experience of God in me. And then here I get this like this tantalizing experience of this mother God who kind of was beginning to kind of draw me to her. And then probably the other most profound shift for me has been coming into the gender equity reconciliation work, which was in about 2013, my husband and I came across this beautiful work that we both felt so drawn to. And really it's been happening for 30 years in countries all around the world, but it's really where groups of people gather, men and women and people of all genders, to come and do truth telling, to speak their story about their experience of injustice around gender and sexuality. And so I went dive straight into the facilitator training because my husband and I knew we wanted this work. It felt right to us. And so we flew to the States, we immersed ourselves in four modules of this training over a year period of being with this group of people and sitting in all my gender pain. So I sat and I told my stories with this group of other women and other men and people of across the gender of experience. And I got to name for the first time some of what it was like for me to have only a male God. I got to name what it was like to have this really large, fat, overweight body that was suppressing and cutting off my voice and wouldn't allow me to speak up. Now, with the Kundalini awakening, I'd already begun to speak up. I'd begun to find my sacred feminine power, if you like, but it was only in these last probably 10 years in the Jerry work that I've really grounded them, and where I have found my voice, where I've come into my creative energy, where I have sat in beloved community with others in our pain at times. And for me, the irony is some of my pain was actually not with men in these groups. Some of it was sitting in the circles with just women, because some of my pain was around all these negative experiences, these negative judgments I had and about women, that women are weak or they're dangerous or they're sexual or they're, you know, like I mixed up in my experience with other women. And so it was in some of these circles that I sat and I grieved not having safe women in my life that I felt really loved and nurtured me. It was in the gender equity reconciliation circles that I first realized how much I hated myself. I think like I I really had to come to terms with, I had been taught to hate myself, but then I had taken that on and owned that for myself, that somehow I was not okay. And it's been this process of deepening into this loving of myself, and hence the womb days grows out of this incredible need I've had to find a way to lovingly nurture myself and to lovingly allow more than just the masculine to come forward in me, because I had quite a masculine journey. I got educated, and I worked hard. I did lots of masculine energy actions in lots of ways, and I shut down my feminine, you know, curves. I put on weight to hide my sensuality. So the Jerry has been about reclaiming even my sensuality and my right and my okayness to be a woman in the world. I think I'll pause there.
Yeah, wow. I mean, thank you for sharing all of that. I'm resonating with a lot of your story as well. And you're bringing up so many important points there about what it means to be a woman in the current context in our society. And it almost doesn't matter where you are in the world. The experiences are very, very similar. And we have been so deeply conditioned and programmed to cut ourselves off from this sacred feminine essence and either thrive or survive within the masculine mode or become some sort of distorted versions of what it means to be a woman in terms of pleasing men or trying to hide from making other women jealous or exactly as you were talking about, like hiding our sensuality, hiding our sexuality and thinking that we are inherently bad. Wow, you're bringing up so much. You already started to allude to this in many ways, Esther, but I'm wondering if you could share a little bit more about the blessing, the hidden blessing in all those challenges that you went through.
Thanks, Emmy. I mean, the first and foremost, the biggest blessing is back to that word freedom. You know, I feel like I have this freedom to actually be fully myself, unashamed, without apology. You know, I'm still living into this, of course. You know, I still get to find out how I do this in my family and different contexts in my life. But I have such a freedom now to speak out of my own voice and to be who I am in the world, and that frees me up to be able to be in service to the world. Like the work that we do in the Jerry work, it's such a gift to me. I'm in service. I'm a senior trainer, travel around the world at different times. We've just come back from America again, doing some training over there with one of the cohorts, and I facilitate workshops here in Australia. And so I'm in service in that way, but really this community is one of the blessings to me, because I get to have this place where there is this beautiful unity of the feminine and the masculine and this coming together beyond our wounds into beloved community. And so into this place of deep connection that's sort of out through the other side of, you know, the pain and the wounds that I work with in my therapy space all the time, the clients I have with often a lot of gender trauma. So there's this incredible blessing I experience in being in this work, which I can only be in because of the work I've done and the freedom I have now. And the one other part I want to mention is the other blessing has been, I haven't turned away from my Christian faith, but it's like my sense of God has grown so much. It's deepened. It doesn't exclude anymore. And so for me, part of the gift has been, not only do I still have the mother, father, God, the images of God in the scripture, in the Bible, but I also have more than that. So for me, it's been finding Kali Ma. So finding Kali has been, you know, in the Hindu tradition, has been embracing, like I've been able to embrace my fierceness. I've had permission to be outspoken and raw and be in my anger and also find the like the incredible loving, the powerful loving dimensions of Carly's energy. And then for me, the other aspect of blessing for me has been able to finding Kuan Yin and being able to embrace that actually not only am I fierce and passionate and courageous and, you know, a little bit raw and too honest or just honest enough sometimes, but not only am I all of those things like Carly can be, but I'm also like Kuan Yin. I have an incredible gentleness. I have a deep, deep compassionate heart. And I have learned to be able to love myself with that heart in order that I can. And the gift of the blessing is that as I love myself, I can love others more fully and deeply. And I know that I do that every day in my counseling, my therapy practice. The reality is both Carly and Kuan Yin show up with me in my body, in my therapy room, in the facilitating of the workshops I do, in my relationship with my husband, in my friendships. I feel incredibly grateful for, you know, the journey through the challenge, really.
I love that. And I love how you're working so closely with, well, embodying Carly and Kuan Yin so closely in everything that you do. I mean, two very, very powerful, beautiful goddesses to really travel your journey with. So thank you for bringing them into our conversation as well. And when I introduced you, I also talked about the book that you are a co-author of, Gender Equity and Reconciliation, 30 Years of Healing the Most Ancient Wound in the Human Family. And I was really touched by that subtitle, the Most Ancient Wound in the Human Family. And I'm wondering, through the experiences you've had, through the trauma work that you do and through the training you've done, would you be able to share a little bit about why is this the most ancient wound in the human family?
Yeah. Well, one, I encourage your listeners to have a look at the book. It's quite a beautiful book. I'm one of 20 co-authors, and really it's a book of 30 years of working around in this way, working, sitting in circles with men and women, people of all genders, and working with this wound between the masculine and the feminine. And the reality is it's been done, the work that Will and Cynthia are the two founders, Will Keepin and Cynthia Bricks, they've been involved in this work for 30 years. They have done it in 18 countries with close to 30,000 people now, over 30 years. And what they have found is the same gender stories of gender injustice and intergenerational trauma are universal. They're in some way very similar across all the different cultures, all the different faith traditions, all you know, wherever there are humans, there are some of these kind of gender disparities that show up in some form or other over generations. And so this work, I think, is just a very simple grassroots, beautiful, profound way of meeting in circle, in small circles, many, 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 many small circles all over the world, where people have sat and they have dared to tell their truth about their experience of their gender story in the world. You know, those little kind of what it's been like in their family, what it's been like at work for them, what it's been like in, you know, all the different diverse areas of their life. And to name their gender stories, to name the impact of their sexuality, because our gender identity is often so wrapped up in our experiences of our sexuality, of what's okay and not okay, and of the injustices or experiences that have happened to us. And as we sit in these very, very simple circles, facilitated and held by the training process for this is quite rigorous, and we go through a very long internship process to be sure that we can hold the safety of the reality that in these circles, enormous amounts of trauma will come out. People will often speak their truth of their sexual or gender violence in some form in a way that they've never spoken it before. But somehow through the alchemy of being witnessed by your own gender and other genders, there is this kind of moving through to the other side of this place of going, oh, I'm like you, you're like me, I'm human. And that actually patriarchy is something that is separate from us as men or women. Like that patriarchy is a system that has impacted all of us in different ways, but has been detrimental and wounding to both the masculine and feminine within us and the masculine and feminine between us.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's kind of it's in our work, it's never men against women or gender against gender. It's justice versus injustice. And it's us together coming together to speak up against the injustices that have actually happened to all of us in different ways. And somewhere through that is this healing of this incredibly ancient wound in the human family. And I believe it's not just in the human family. One of our intentions, we have 5 intentions that we light a candle for each of the 5 intentions. One of them is an intention for healing between women and men. One is between women and women. One is between men and men. One is between all genders, people of all genders and all sexual orientations. And one is between all people and the earth, all sentient beings. Because I also believe that not only does this ancient wound impact all humans, but actually it has damaged incredibly our earth and our connection to Mother Earth, that as we have, you know, vilified the feminine often, there has also been this mistreatment of the earth. And so our intention is for healing across all those areas.
Mm.
So I hope I answered a little bit in that.
Yes, you did. Yeah, and I love how your work extends to Mother Earth and all sentient beings on our planet, because you are so right. Patriarchy has brought through systems and structures that are so devoid of an understanding of the sacredness of all that is alive around us and within us, and has brought through so much chaos and so much destruction to this living planet of ours, this beautiful, sacred planet of ours, and has had very little regard for life, human life to begin with, but life in its all forms on our planet, from plants and mushrooms, mycelia, to birds and bugs and all of it, isn't it?
Yes. And to come back to being able to be one with all that is, means that we need to heal this wound, like to be able to move back into right standing or harmony or reconciliation or unification or unity with all that is, the greater, that is that which is greater than us, I think means that we have to do this work.
Yeah.
Or our earth and our planet is in danger.
Yes, for sure. I think it is in danger as it is. And you are so right. This is the kind of healing work that will make all the difference, especially in these times of change and transition that we are in right now. And with all this seeming chaos and division that is everywhere on our planet. So absolutely. Thank you for doing the work that you do. It is so needed and so, so very empowering and sacred. It really is sacred activism at its finest.
Yeah, it is. And the reality is that's also how it began. So Will Keepin, over 30 years ago, was an activist. He's a physicist working with nuclear energy. He was a whistleblower around the risks of nuclear energy. He worked with groups of activists. That was kind of where he was at that point in his life. And they were these powerful, amazing activists wanting to heal the planet, wanting to stop nuclear kind of power. And in the process, what he discovered is this group of men and women were often at odds with each other, and it was around the gender divide. So they were doing this powerful activist work for the planet and then also getting caught with all this gender stuff that was happening. And so he said, this is not okay. We need to meet and have these conversations and work out what's going on. Like, we can't go forward when we're fighting with each other like this around these gender issues. And that's really where the program started. It used to be called Gender and Ecology. So for a long time, it ran within activist communities, and then it continued to grow and grow and then begin to attract other people, and the name was changed to Gender Equity and Reconciliation over time.
Wow, what a beautiful beginning for this organization. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Esther, you have shared a huge amount of wisdom with us, and just by sharing your story provided so much medicine to us all. If our listeners wanted to connect with you and find out more about you, what is the best place for them to go to?
Probably two places. One, my company, with my therapy practice and the other things I do, is resonancetogether.com.au. So resonance, and then the word together.com.au. And you can connect with me, reach out. I love connecting with people and having conversation. And then the other way would be through the gender work. And the website for that is grworld.org. And I'm there under the Australian contacts, but you can also see a little bit more about the work that we do in the gender sphere.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And we will, of course, include the link to the book itself as well in the show notes, so people can go and find that and read this absolute gem of wisdom. Is there anything else that is still arising for you in this moment that you feel is really, really important to share with our listeners?
One thing, Emmy, just around the book that I'll just name. The book has some of the theory around the work that we do, but and mostly, though, the book is just full of stories. It is stories and stories of people's journeys and their experiences with their gender healing and what it's been like for them to be in this work, but to go through the process of moving through some of their gender pain. So, and in all different areas, because this work is in, you know, corporate settings and religious settings and community settings and rural settings and cities and the UN in New York and all in 18 countries around the world. So there's this incredible diversity of voice really around people's stories. So I think that's important to name. Anything else? I think just my gratitude for talking with you, Emmy, and for our trusting of the process and of what has come forward today. I didn't know which parts of my story I would share. I just trusted the process that the right parts would come forward for the right people who are listening, and also for me. So I just feel grateful for having this opportunity to think about my story and to speak again about some of the important kind of shifts and changes that I've experienced as the sacred, beautiful goddess, the divine one, has entered my life, and she's always been here. I just forgot about her for a while, and I've reconnected with her. I'm grateful for her.
Blessed be. Thank you so much, Esther, for being a part of this podcast and sharing your story so beautifully, and again, bringing so much medicine to all of us. Really, really appreciate who you are and the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Winnie.
Beautiful. Well, everybody, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this really inspiring, powerful energy that's been activated just for a moment. And imagine sending that to everyone and everything on our planet. So remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and start to heal these wounds that affect all of us in so many ways, the more quickly our planet will also heal and ascend. Thanks so much for listening.